Let us pray. Lord of all who doubt and believe, by the gift of your Spirit, enable us to hear with our ears, to see with our eyes, and to touch with our hands your word made life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. In worship, we follow the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a schedule of scripture readings that we follow each Sunday. And so today is Good Shepherd Sunday, which always falls on one of the Sundays following Easter. As I read today's scripture passages, you'll notice that theme running through most of them. But there is another theme I want you to listen for, and that's the theme of self-giving or self-sacrificing love. And when I talk about self-giving or self-sacrificing love, I do not mean being a doormat. I do not mean allowing yourself to become damaged by a toxic person in your life. And I most certainly do not mean putting up with abuse of any kind. That is most definitely not what the Good Shepherd has in mind, nor is it what he wants for us. In this first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, the religious rulers are mesmerized by the power that comes from the resurrection of the self-giving Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" This was a healing they were asking about. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Here, Jesus' words about the self-sacrificing good shepherd offer great comfort, but not without first depicting the cost at which the comfort is purchased. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. And if you've ever asked the question, what is love? You need read no farther than these verses for the answer. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commands abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 1 month ago, a police officer in France died. It's common to hear stories of police officers, members of the military, or other emergency personnel laying down their lives in the line of duty for the sake of someone else. And this French police officer was no different. Colonel Arnaud Beltran was among the police officers who responded to reports of a man who had hijacked a car, shot at a group of police officers, killed two people, and had taken an unknown number of people hostage in a supermarket in southwestern France. Colonel Beltran voluntarily traded places with one of the hostages, and left his phone on a table with an open line, enabling the police outside to hear the conversation inside. As the police stormed the supermarket, Beltran was seriously wounded in the gunfire exchange, and not long after, he died from his injuries. 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Colonel Beltram is like John's good shepherd, who is committed to laying down his life for his sheep. Though a hired hand might turn tail and run at the sight of the wolf stalking the flock, the shepherd loves the sheep and is willing to die to protect them. Jesus Christ, God's own beloved Son, is willingly, voluntarily, and against all logic and reason, willing to lay down his life for his sheep, for us. This language of laying down our lives is usually reserved for special occasions when words are spoken in hushed tones and with a sense of awe. This is the language used to praise the sacrifice of someone who dies to save others, or to celebrate a particular act of bravery. These are words for heroes like Colonel Beltram and the Good Shepherd. These are words for those who run toward danger while everyone else is running away. These are words for those who risk their lives every day when they go to work. But what about the rest of us? What do these words mean for the rest of us who go about our days in generally undangerous situations? Does this mean we get to skip over these verses in 1 John until we find something that applies more directly to our lives? Or is there some part of this language of laying down our lives that still has something to say to the rest of us? Listen to the next two verses. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and see a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. For 1 John, there is a direct connection between laying down our lives and loving others. There is a direct connection between laying down our lives and helping a brother and sister in need, not just with words or speech, but with truth and action. And as history has shown, speaking truth to power is a dangerous thing. The truth is, if we choose to stand beside victims of injustice or hate or racism and speak truth to power, we ourselves might become the next victim. If we go in love to those who are under daily threat of violence or war and share with them a witness for healing and peace, we have to expect that the next bomb or bullet will find us. You don't have to be a police officer to do that. You don't have to be a member of the military to do that. You don't have to be an emergency responder to do that. You just have to be a child of God. Speaking the truth matters, and so do our actions. In every age, with Christ-like love, believers have gone where they do not have to go and have suffered what they could have easily avoided. Laying down our lives is to lay aside our claim to our own lives for the sake of others. We lay down our lives when we put others first. We lay down our lives when we live for the good of others. We lay down our lives when we simply make time for others. To love others is to lay down our lives for them. When we lay down the completely normal human desire to live only for ourselves and instead allow the love of God to reorient us toward the needs of others, we discover that we are doing exactly what 1 John 3:16 is telling us to do without even thinking about it. The seminary professor of mine that I quoted in last week's sermon is making another appearance in this sermon. In his commentary on 1 John, he writes this: love is known in action. How do we know God's love? It is through God's action in sending Jesus Christ into the world, and through Christ's action of laying down his life for us. The actions of God show us what God is like. Not God's words, not God's speech, God's actions. The actions of God show us what God is like. So if you think about Psalm 23, which the choir sang for us earlier, in it, the Lord is the shepherd who provides all that is needed, who gives his sheep rest beside the still waters, and leads them along paths of righteousness. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd gives comfort through the rod and the staff. God's actions in Psalm 23 show us that God is generous, righteous, strong, and comforting. So if love is known in action, and the actions of God show us what God is like, then shouldn't the same test hold true for our actions? My actions show you what I am like, and your actions show me what you are like. By our actions, we are known. Not our words, not even our most eloquent sermons or speeches. Preach the gospel to all the world, St. Francis says, and if necessary, use words. The question we have to ask ourselves is this: what do our actions say about us as individuals? And what do our actions say about us as a congregation? My friends, the world is watching. The world has been watching for what must seem like a lifetime. And they're tired of hearing us just talk. They're ready to see us do something. They don't want to hear us talk anymore. They're ready to see us do something. And I hope and pray that if they see what we are doing, and if they like it, they may just want to come alongside us and help. Laying down our lives for the sake of others is not meant to be an extraordinary act performed only by the bravest among us, like the Good Shepherd and Colonel Beltram. Laying down our lives and living for others really is meant to be quite ordinary, quite, here comes my favorite word, quotidian. For the Christian, it should be our default, our reflex, our daily habit of relating to the world around us. Self-sacrifice should be ordinary, not extraordinary. We ought to lay down our lives for others, not intending to make it a grand heroic gesture to our Christian brothers and sisters, though there is a time and place for heroics. But we should do it because it is an everyday commandment for ordinary Christians like you and me. The Christian life is a life laid down for others. A life built on self-sacrifice, modeled after the life of the Good Shepherd, who knows us and whom we know by his actions. For he is the one who loved his flock so much that he laid down his life for us. May we go and do likewise today, tomorrow, next week, and to the end of our days. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.